Catholics around the world are reacting to the surprising news that Pope Benedict is resigning at the end of this month. The pontiff broke the news to cardinals today, saying the duties of being pope require strength of mind and body, and that he simply isn't strong enough anymore. The 85-year-old becomes the first pope to step down in 600 years.
Joining us live to talk more about it, Kathy Grossman, who covers religion for USA Today. Kathy, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
There are some people who are wondering why Pope Benedict is stepping down despite the health issues, since it hasn't been done in 600 years.
Well, I think that legally in 1983, revisions in church law allowed a pope to retire. I think that they looked ahead to what was going on with modern medicine and the fact that we live a lot longer than we used to. The ability for your body to be alive, while maybe you can't function, particularly not in one of the most stressful jobs on the planet, has been extended enormously. And he had always said that he thought it would be your spiritual duty to resign if you didn't have the strength to carry on. It's a very grueling job.
So might that be the legacy that he leaves behind, changing the way we think of popes as serving out their time as pope and, with their health issues and everything that comes with old age?
It's certainly an unforgettable move, and no matter what happens next, people will be talking about it because it might be 600 years before it happens again. However, I don't think that's the single most important thing that Pope Benedict will be known for. He'll be known for his encyclicals, his teaching documents. He'll be known for his popular writings. His trilogy on Jesus of Nazareth has been bestsellers around the world.
There are two interesting things also that occurred during this pope's reign. One was the sex scandal at the Catholic Church, and the other was a marked turn toward conservatism. Can you address each of those?
Well, in terms of the abuse crisis was simmering within the church for decades. Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict, was in charge of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and in 2001, when he saw that another wing of the Vatican was not pursuing these cases and was not digging into what was going on and removing predatory priests, he took that portfolio over. He went to the Pope and he said, look, let me handle this. And from that time forward, priests were being punished. Now, many people will criticize Benedict, particularly survivors groups, victims groups, will say that he punished priests, but he did not punish the bishops who had allowed this to continue for decades.
You know, it was so sensational when it happened with the butler stealing the documents from the Pope and eventually being pardoned by the Pope, I believe is how it happened. That was such a sensational case, but it also had to have added to the level of stress for the Pope.
So much as the level of stress, but what it did do was it highlighted, what did those documents say? They were sort of minor things, but they mostly revealed that the Curia, the Vatican's bureaucracy that actually runs the day-to-day business of the church of 1.2 billion people globally, was completely out of control. I mean, the Curia was established in the Middle Ages, and it's still run, as one author says, like a medieval village. So the reform of the Curia is actually, it sounds like a nuts and bolts and boring thing, but frankly, it's a trains run on time kind of thing that people want.
All right. Thanks so much for being here, Kathy. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That's Kathy Grossman. She covers religion for USA Today.